Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, did you feel that purity in the young girl when she was singing? I can feel that. My Lord Jesus. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says it's in these infants where God has prepared perfect praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I wasn't even hearing the words, but somehow, tears started to flow out of my eyes. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what he's doing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God is worthy. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, Jesus. You know, this morning I was with a brother. I know he's not here. He may be coming. Somehow we are coming to church, and we started to think about God. And I told this brother, because of what happened, I'm like, look, God is good. Is yeah, Pastor, God is good, and I know he's good. You know, the problem we have is we always want to figure out God. We always do that. I don't know. You want to, in your little mind, in my little mind, you know, I want to think God looks this way. God thinks like this. But look, the Bible says, who can comprehend, who can fathom the wisdom of the Lord? You look at this world where we are. Look at yourself. The Bible says, you know, the heavens, the earth put together cannot contain him. I know you've been to school, you know what molecules, you know. In science, we learn. I look at this God, I'm like, in his eyes, I'm that little bit tiny, Pastor. Very tiny. But in his infinite wisdom, God knows where I am today. He knows what I'm supposed to do today. God knows even the next step that one monarch is going to take. He knows. Can you fathom that? Can you figure out a God like that? It doesn't even use a magnifying glass, no. But you are in his mind. And he brought you into this world for a purpose. You know, there are people out there who tell you today that you've missed the will of God. They will say that. But to tell you the truth, no one can ever change the will of God for your life. No one can do that. God knows why you are where you are today. He knows why you are doing what you are doing today. My Lord Jesus. He knows. The Bible says even before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you and he called you by your name then, not today. Jesus. This God, and it's true, Pastor, he does all things. He makes all things beautiful in his own time. God is in control. You might be there saying, but it's hurting, you know? You might be there saying, I know I have this pain. It's so excruciating. You might be there, maybe somebody somehow stepped on your toes. Say, they hurt me. And that guy standing before us doesn't even understand what I'm going through. God knows why that person stepped on those toes. He knows what he wanted to bring out of you. That hurt you have this morning, I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody. That's a problem you had, and God is saying, get rid of that. Just remove it. You don't need to walk like that. Because there is someone bigger than that person who provoked you, who's in charge of your life. There is someone bigger than that person who stepped on your toe, who's in control of your life. That thing they did to you, listen to me, they cannot stop the will of God. Oh, Jesus, I feel it. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord Jesus. Ha. There's a lot, you know. I was there, I'm thinking, and I'm like, God, help me. And this is not me. There are times I'll be there, you know, preparing the message, try to put everything together. But I don't know. It was just difficult for me to do it. But I know God wanted to use me today to bless somebody. You know, when I look at myself, I look at myself as a blessing of the Lord. Even standing before you, I know God wanted to bless somebody by me standing before you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Father, it's ordeal unto your name. Lord, I'm standing here this morning, and I'm saying, Lord, unless you build the house, I may try, but it shall be in vain. Unless you watch over the city, watch over your people, I may try, but in vain. So I'm here, Lord, totally depending upon your help. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, as I speak to your people this morning, may you please, God Almighty, make them to hear your voice beyond my voice. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my Lord, you've seen that person in need. You've seen that person, Lord, you want to speak to through this vessel. I pray, open their hearts, oh God. Prepare that ground of their heart, that your word will not fall on the wrong ground, but that, Lord, it will fall on a fertile ground, where it will be able to germinate, Father, and bring forth much fruits, and fruits that will abide forever, O God. Hallelujah. For you've said, thy word, Lord, is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Hallelujah. Your word is ever settled in heaven. You've said, Father God, it shall not return back to you void. When you speak it, it accomplishes the purposes for which you sent it for. Let every saint this morning say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is good. I know what I'm saying. He is good. Amen. You know, before I even go to the word of the Lord, I just want to say or give a testimony. The things which happened. A lot of you know I went to Zambia. By the way, I enjoyed myself. And I did not been for the people I love, even this side, I would rather stay there. Because, you know, Pastor, I enjoyed. I may be here, my wife is not here. She's somewhere within the room. She would testify what happened. You talk about fruit that abides. I went there and I was preaching in one of my son's church. A person I led to the Lord. The person God helped me to groom to where they are. I stood there before I went there and he started to say things I don't even think about. This young man stood there and he said, look, I remember when Pastor used to be a youth pastor in this ministry. And I'm not bragging. You know that? With all humility, I'm saying this. He said, this man led a youth group in the history of this ministry that has never been. And he said, you know why I'm saying this? He said, three quarters of the people were in his youth group today are pastors in my country. And I'm not talking about small churches. They are leading church. I looked. That was the second church. The other church I preached on in the capital city, it was for my son too. He said the same thing. I stood before there. I couldn't even preach first. I became so emotional. You know how God works? And I'm like, Lord, all the glory belongs to you. I was just a vessel. I'm still a vessel. But the way these people took care of me, I was telling Pastor, I never spent anything back home for a month. Everywhere I went, my kids were taking care of me. I'm there, they said, don't even bother to buy talk time in your phone. Just give us your number. We'll be sending minutes to you. I'm going, where are you going? I'm going to the next city. Don't care about transportation. We'll take care of you. They came, took me to there and there. And I'm like, Lord, I don't deserve this. I do not, because I'm just a vessel. But God says, I just brought you to see that those little times you obeyed me, look what they have produced. We came, and after we started of coming here, I was telling Pastor, another miracle happened. Somehow, on the way in Amsterdam, we are separated with my wife. We booked the same plane, everything the same, but we reached there. They said, you have a U.S. passport. You can be allowed to pass through two countries with France Airlines. But as for your wife, since she's still on green card, she cannot transit in two countries. We'll find another plane for her to go straight from Amsterdam to America in Atlanta. And I'm like, no, this is my wife, you know. The Bible says, whatever God joined together, let no man put asunder. But they say, yeah, we know God says that, but this is Kelohim, you know. We went there and I'm like, what is going to happen to my... Look, my wife started to think, and she told me this, Pastor. She's like, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking maybe God wanted to separate us so that if one dies, the other one would... You know, she went thinking, one dies, the other is going to be there for the children. I'm like, I'm not going to die. I got a lot to do, and you're not going to die. But we only were separated for 2 hours. You know, I reached in Dallas. I'm talking to my kids. They say, oh, Mom just called. She said she's in Atlanta. She will be coming 2 hours from now. At night at the airport, I'm saying, thank God. After 2 hours, lo and behold, I saw my beauty. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But you know, she said, you know, thank God we are here. But you know, I'm kind of feeling a little bit depressed. I'm like, why? Said, we come to the country of bills. We don't even know how we're going to pay our bills. I'm like, they are there, but you know, the God who took us there, isn't we? We say that he blessed you in and he's going to bless you when you go out. What had happened, to cut the long story short, when we were going back, in fact, look, this proves that I'm a Kenyan. We were supposed to just peruse through Kenya. We reached Kenya the same time we were supposed to be in Zambia. You know what happened? KLOM booked us in one of the beautiful hotels near, Jomo Kenyatta Airport there? One of the five, something Penish, and you can finish it. I spent a night in Kenya, unexpectedly, in a good hotel. This God, I'm like, yeah, now I believe I'm Kenyan. Pastor Tony is calling me. You can't go through my country without spending. Yeah, we reached here, you know. I hope it will bless somebody. My wife in his mind said, yeah, rent was due. And, you know, it is even 2 days past. Where are we going to get money? I'm thinking the same thing. We are coming home. There was a bunch of letters, you know, where kids just put, they don't open. We looked at them, we said, yeah, this is what we are talking about. But forgetting, before I reached, you know, before we delayed somehow, and then when we reached in Zambia, we were missing 2 bags, which took another 2 days for us to just travel to and fro from the airport to get those bags. I'm like, no, you know what I'm going to do? This is chance. I'm going to write a letter to the airline asking them, they missed my days, you know? I call this young man, we wrote, telling the airline, say, how can you do to us? And then you, on the way, they gave us like coupons for 60 euros each. I'm like, no, I need more than this. I wrote that letter. My wife was telling Pastor the other day, like when he was writing, I'm like, man, this man, be honest, who's going to give you money, you know? I'm like, okay, you wait. I didn't also believe, though. When we reached here, my daughter opened the first letter. There was Delta Airline, and I never flew Delta, you know? She opened it, she's like, wow, Daddy, there is this letter with your name on, but down, there is a check for you. Like, wow, you open your eyes, even if they are small, you know? She's saying that, she said, there is another letter, because I have 3 names. He said, also, it bears your name. With the other name, the first one was Julius. The other one, I'm not going to tell you, but they were all Chilundikas. I'm opening each letter. You know how much was there? 801 dollars each letter, both of them. Paid by the airline and expected $1,600. We paid rent. We paid the bills. Tell me if God is not in control. Amen. That's why I was saying he's in control. Don't just figure out God. Give it all to him. Amen. There was a song here. You remember the song? It said, I will give it all to the all who gave it all. When he came here, the Bible says God did not spare his one and only begotten son. His one and only. He gave all that he had. God gave his best to you and me. If he can go to that extent of doing that, what makes you and me to think that God can forget about us today? Why do we think like that? Hallelujah. I know. What time am I supposed to finish? 30 minutes? Service. Oh, you changed things, huh? I wasn't here anyway. Look, I was trying to say something today. Now I'm going to the word of the Lord. You know, the problem we have today, this is what God was telling me. The problem is we have today in church everywhere, we want to complicate the word of God. My Lord. You know what? Like I said earlier on, we want to figure out this God. You want to find the best way you can to get out of the word so that you can make it the way you would want it to be. Bible says his word is ever settled in heaven. Bible says that so shall my word be that proceeds out of my mouth. It says even as dew falls from heaven and bring forth vegetation, my word be that comes out of my mouth, it shall not return back to me void until it accomplishes the purposes for which I sent it for. But you know the problem we have, we want to complicate it. You come here, you get one word from the Bible. We want to, in the name of doing exegesis, you know, we want to dissect it, you know, want to make it look the way we want it to be. My Lord, don't change the word of God. God gave me a scripture, and I'm going to that. He says, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll try to be fast because I've already talked. Chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible reads, if you found it, I'll go chapter 3 verse 1. You can even look on the screen there. But the Bible reads, but know this, this is Paul speaking to his own spiritual son by the name of Timothy. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, he says, headstrong and hot, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. I want you to focus here. He says, having what? A form of godliness, but deny its power. Having the form of what? Godliness, but denying its power. It's another scriptures. That's in Hebrews. You know what the Bible says? It says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, it divide asunder what? The bone and the marrow. It's a word of God that reveals what? The intents or the intentions of the heart or mind of what? Man. Others say the word of God is powerful. Amen. Remember where I started to say, the problem we have today, we want to change the word of God so that it fits or suits what we want for it to be. We don't take the word of God for what it is or the way God wanted it to be to you. Tell me the truth here. It says, In these last days, what will happen? Many will be lovers of what? Themselves. Is that not what is happening? But you know, I can bring something to make you understand. When we talk about the word of God, the Bible says, that it's in John 1. It says, Jesus was the word, and the word was Jesus. Amen. And they say, this word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why am I saying this? Because I want to go to Philippines. Paul is teaching again the Philippians. He says, let this mind be in you also, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. The Bible says this Jesus humbled himself. He became a servant. Now listen, a servant serves many. Here the Bible says, in the last days we'll change this. We'll become what? Self-centered. In the last days we'll change this. We'll become lovers of ourselves more than we love others. But the same Philippian, I'm saying, if you come down, the Bible says, you know what? It says you must esteem others better than yourself. That's the word of God. Listen, I started with a testimony. And listen to me carefully. You decide today to serve God or artillery. In life, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. If you want to come try to serve God using gimmicks, in life you'll be disappointed. Are you following what I'm saying here? You come down. I know time is not with me. I was going to go precept. But look, coming down here, the Bible, Timothy Paul is teaching Timothy. What did he say? Even when you preach, you do what? Preach the word. In and out of season. Preach the word. Even if you feel like people are not getting it, preach the word. Don't preach anything. Preach the word. Because Paul understood the word of God works. I know there is a dispute about Hebrews. Who wrote Hebrews? I believe with all my heart, Paul wrote Hebrews. He's the one who said the word of God is powerful. Going into the Old Testament, listen to the men of God. And there are just men in the Bible you want to imitate. You want to imitate and follow. One of them is Timothy, but the other one in the Old Testament is Ezra. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, you know what it says? Ezra had prepared his heart to study the law of God. Listen to me, he said, do it, and then teach the precepts to the children of Israel. What did he do? Study. Before he even taught the word, he lived the word. He saw that the word was working in his life. After that, what did he do? Prepared his heart first. Second, to study. Third, what did he do? Do it. After doing it, then he saw an opportunity to share the word of God. You following what I'm saying here? This word is powerful. This word is the only thing that will protect you in these days, in these last days. Because people are coming out there. I went to Zambia. Funny things are happening, Pastor. You know what? the president of Zambia, like 20 years ago, he stood and he declared Zambia to be a Christian nation. You know what? A lot of people all over the world rejoiced. And I know those words were very powerful. And God is sticking to, when you, the Bible says, if I be lifted, what am I going to do? I'll draw many unto myself. He says, he said the other word, he says, God said that, and you know what is happening in my country? I know there are people coming there wanting to change the word of God. I've never seen prophets in my country. Prophets, pastor, I've never seen them since I became born again. Every corner you go to, you find prophets today. I mean, and these prophets, they are not even using the word of God. They're just working on the minds of people. Psychology. They will come, I mean, by the door there and say, God has sent me. And I'm saying this as if it's a joke. God has sent me to come and prophesy over your house. And this deceptive, and people are deceived. They will be there, start to cheer on these guys like, go, man of God. I know God has sent you. Don't just end at the door. I want for you to come into my house. Prophesy over the sitting room. Not only the sitting room. Go in the kitchen, man of God. In my bedroom, man of God. And this false prophet will come, prophesy. God will do A, B, C, D. After that, they said, you can't send the prophet of God empty-handed. Lovers of money. That's what the Bible says. How do you check them? In the last days. They are using, you know, they profess to be Christians, but they deny the very power. Why not just stick on the word of God? Paul said, preach the word, nothing else. Am I saying God cannot speak today? Yes, he speaks. But listen, not the way it's happening today. I'm going, you know, my mother-in-law, they are all my mother Christians, pastor. My mother-in-law is asking me a question. Say, you know, in our language, say, if when you address your son-in-law, especially that I'm married to their firstborn, they change now, they call me daddy. Even by my mother-in-law. She comes to me, she said, Batata, what is happening? Is it of God? Because I've never seen it this way. There are prophets out there selling brooms. I'm telling you the truth. And they are not Zambian prophets. They come invade Zambia. They are selling brooms. I'm like, what are the brooms for? You go in your house because these brooms have been prayed for. You go in your house and sweep all the demons. And they are selling those brooms. My wife is witness there, I can tell you. There is a lot of things happening. He took me and said, look, this is the last days. I came here the first Sunday I attended. What was pastor talking about? Discernment. You know the best way for you to discern? Use the word of God. The Bible tells me in the book of Acts, even when Paul preached, the children of Bear, you know, he preached the word. They still went home and do what? Search scriptures. See if whatever Paul said was the truth. You understand what I'm saying? The only protection we have today is this word. because they are all over the world. Study this word for yourself. The Bible calls the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. My Lord. You know, talking about Ezra and Nehemiah, the Bible talks about them when they went to build that wall which was broken in Jerusalem. There were two people out there, Tobias and Sanballat, who were not happy of what was going on. They were there teasing them. The Bible mentioned here, boasters. They just boast for nothing. You know what I mean? They are there, they are doing the word of God, the will of God, and they stand and say, hey, what are you building? You think that wall you're building is going to stand? Let us tell you the truth. Because even little foxes, when they walk on them, they will crumble. But Ezra, did Ezra do anything? You know what he did with the people who were there in Nehemiah? They continued to build. Build, but one important thing the Bible says, what they were doing is, with one hand building. What were they holding on the hand? Swords. Swords. They were holding this word. We are building, yes. But you know what? Our faith is in what God has said. Don't think you can change this. We will finish this work. You know why? Because God spoke to us. We heard his voice. We're not going to hear any voice of anybody apart from the voice of God. Oh, so shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return back to me void, until it accomplishes the purposes for which I sent it for. This word is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. You know, what is going to protect you from being swayed away by this false doctrine going on? It's the word of God. Paul is teaching Timothy, say, young man, you know what you have to do? Study to show yourself approved. A workman who need not to be ashamed. Dividing the word of God, what? Rightly. Stand on the word all the time. Stand on the word. This word, don't read it for anybody else. Read it for yourself. Don't study it for me. I'll not study it for you. I study this word for me. You know what I'm giving you today is just something God said, okay, give them. But everything I read from the word is for me. I don't even want to think about another person. Even when you preach, you know, I know it's common in church, you are preaching. Somebody say, I wish he was here. I wish that brother was here. Why are you removing yourself from the word of God? My Lord Jesus, study, study, study. Our time is not with me, but may God fulfill whatever he has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah.